all night long.
The Prez defending his tax stance and slamming the Republicans. It's a new sport. That's politics, though, right? U.S. highway deaths, lowest since 1950. They can't be getting the statistics from anywhere I've driven lately. And the number of homes burned down in Colorado, sadly hitting 136. This is America Tonight. Hi, everybody. Kate Delaney, happy to be with you coast to coast and everywhere in between. Especially for this show, because I got to tell you, our satellite studio is right in the way of Tornado Alley. Tornadoes touching down all over Dallas, Texas, at least a handful of them. When I was out earlier in the day, I got a phone call to watch for a particular area which I was going to. So there was at least four that were caught on tape. And this is because of Hermine, the tropical depression that slammed into the Lone Star State, water just drenching the people in San Antonio. I think it may be at the point where they've got this long river walk, the biggest in the country. They might have to drain part of that. But there's no doubt that Texas has been slammed thanks to the tropical depression. Thank goodness it wasn't a Cat 4, 3, or 2. Temporarily, at Love Field, some of you might take Southwest flights around the country, and so you're familiar with that. In Dallas, they had to shut it down because one of the tornadoes was coming up to the runway through the field, so they were getting ready to evacuate when the tornado turned away at the very last second. It's crazy. Tornadoes are a weird phenomenon in certain areas of, I'm sure many people listening in the Midwest know about this, but certain areas of Texas when they get these tropical systems because of the turning of the winds or what's going on with the wind shear and whatnot. So I think it shocked a lot of people. There were also people, just like in San Antonio, who were stranded in cars and had to be taken out of cars as they didn't realize what the water was doing and tried to go through on some of the underpasses and ended up getting right in the middle of a flood and watched their car just move around in a wall of water. I think people forget that. Everyone can relate to that. Have you ever crossed a roadway, thought, no problem, boom, you go through and you realize, oh, no, I am up you know where without a paddle. And I think that happened to a lot of people. I guess the good news is the 15 inches of rain and the power outages and the flooded streets and all of that, it's done. It's over with. The tropical storm went through and it is no more. Now, what's going to be interesting is what happens with Igor. How much wind is that going to pack? It's 75 miles south-southwest right now of the Cape Verde Islands. But the maximum winds up to 50 miles an hour, and it's the same thing we say over and over and over and over again. Does it turn into a hurricane? And right now the maps show it starting to become a Category 2, maybe next week over the open Atlantic. So look out on the East Coast. Isn't it crazy? Nothing. Nothing from Mother Nature until you get to the end of August and into the beginning of September. So just pay attention. We'll keep you up to date with any of the weather patterns that are breaking. I feel like a meteorologist. Man, I thought we focused on politics and lifestyle and sports and business and the plethora of other things. But the more I think about it, weather always plays a part of these shows. I already said it at the top, so I wanted to hit this crazy statistic out because I was shocked when I saw it. In fact, I didn't actually believe it. You know, a lot of people when they see it in print think, well, it must be true or I heard it somewhere or whatever. I'm like the opposite when I see something in print. Maybe I should check these statistics because I must be seeing double. I need a stronger pair of glasses, reading glasses. But the Transportation Department, sure enough, said the traffic deaths actually have fallen 9.7% in 2009, because that's how they measure a year behind, to 33,000. 1,008. That's the exact number. It's the lowest since 1950. How about that one? You know, in 2008, it was almost 38,000 people who died on our nation's highways. So what do we attribute this to? The Transportation Secretary, Ray LaHood, who usually I don't have much time for, actually said the annual report shows that America's roads are the safest they've ever been. But they, you know, they must be safe, and that's why the numbers are lower than they are. But here, let's get in this a little bit deeper, since we're nationwide, right? 41 states, the District of Columbia and Puerto Rico, they saw the highway fatalities die. Florida had almost 430 fewer deaths, and Texas was down 405. That's shocking to me. As I've spent a bunch of time in Florida and a bunch of time in Texas, and I have plenty to say about the drivers in both of those states. But, hey, the rate of deaths per 100 million miles traveled dropped to another record low. And, you know, it's easy to keep these statistics based on the investigations, when somebody's killed in a crash, all that sort of stuff. So is it these – somebody actually said to me, could it be that it's the airbag deal? Is, you know, now there's side airbags. So with your head and your midsection, what would normally maybe go into the steering wheel, or you gouge yourself on the side of the door, the handle. It's standard on a lot of the new cars. Is this helping drivers? How about the stability control thing? You've seen the commercials for that. Maybe some of you even have a new car where you've got that. So the rollover crashes that used to be commonplace, not as common anymore because of this thing that's the safety technology that's put in a lot of the new cars. And I'll tell you, to me, if you really want to crack down on fatalities on the roadways, distracted driving is the worst. And the whole idea, I don't want to go off onto this text messaging thing, but the whole idea that people are text messaging when they're driving on, you know, these four-lane highways, and then they're not using signals, and then they're just zipping across the road, I just frankly don't get it. First of all, to me, I don't see how you're texting in the first place. How are you seeing? How are you looking down and texting anything significant if you're driving at the same time? It makes no sense. But it's not just texting. It's everything. Just everybody's distracted nowadays. Everybody's distracted with something. Either it's people in the back, or it's something that you're fiddling for, or this is another crazy one. People, not men, I hope, although to each his own, women putting on makeup. Why do you put on makeup? Can't you wait till you're parked? What, doesn't that make sense? Even if you're going to work, couldn't you park in the parking lot for 2 seconds more and do that sort of thing? It's just, duh, common sense. Maybe we'll see those statistics drop if more people aren't as distracted behind the wheel. All right, coming up next, we have our daily salute. Excited to talk to this next guy. He's a best-selling author. His name is T.L. Hines. He was diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma shortly before work on his latest novel. He's surviving it and thriving. September is National Leukemia and Lymphoma Awareness Month. Sadly, too many people fall prey to this disease. We're going to talk to him next on ATN.
Gold. If you listen to the radio, watch TV, or surf the net, you are hearing about gold. Eventually you will ask yourself, is gold right for me? The answer might surprise you. We protect ourselves and our families from many things. Do you have medical insurance? Is your home insured? Do you carry life insurance? How about financial insurance? If you own gold, then the answer is yes. If you don't own gold, the question is, why don't you have financial insurance? We put our faith in things we trust. Do you trust the dollar? Do you trust the economy? Do you trust the government? Gold has always been something you can trust. For thousands of years, people have put their faith in gold. Where will you put your faith? Now is the time to protect yourself and your family. Call Midas Resources today at 1-800-686-2237, extension 242. 1-800-686-2237, extension 242. And ask for Jim Parker. Let me help you get started today. 1-800-686-2237, extension 242.
All types of batteries for all types of gadgets. We'll say it again. All types of batteries for all types of gadgets. Electronics, toys, flashlights, computers, accessories, and more are at BatteryStation.com. Whatever type battery you need, alkaline, lithium, gel cell, NiCad, metal hydride, sealed lead acid, and more are at BatteryStation.com. Our homepage gives you quick access to ham, marine, police, fire, and aviation batteries. Plus, choose from our great selection of LED flashlights with no bulb to ever burn out and much longer battery life. Find many top brands, including Streamlight, Pelican, Surefire, Novatek, Gerber, and more at BatteryStation.com. You'll also find the most popular brands of ammunition and watertight cases for storing guns, food, electronics, survival gear, and more at BatteryStation.com. Call 417-257-7799. That's 417-257-7799. You will be surprised when you visit BatteryStation.com.
Buy the case or buy the pallet. Sapaco SurePak MREs are the most well-balanced, great-tasting meals ready to eat available at MyersCustomSupply.com. Sapaco SurePak MREs are great for any situation. Come with or without flameless ration heaters, are easy to transport, and easy to store with a 3 to 5 year shelf life. And you can buy just a case or an entire pallet. Either way, Sapaco SurePak MREs are ready to eat hot or cold. Experience superior customer service from the number one Sapaco supplier that's been in business since 1997. When you order your Sapaco SurePak MREs from MyersCustomSupply.com, get fast free shipping and 5% off your total order by using promo code GCN5 at checkout. Call 1-800-451-6105 or visit MyersCustomSupply.com. That's M-E-Y-E-R-S CustomSupply.com or call 800-451-6105. For the lowest prices on the internet, visit MyersCustomSupply.com.
This, and I know some of you have had family members who have gone through it, and I hope they survive, but September is National Leukemia and Lymphoma Awareness Month, and the numbers are staggering. In fact, the American Cancer Society is estimating that in 2009 there were 44,000, we give you the exact number, 44,790 new cases of leukemia. Throw that in with the 21,870 deaths, and lymphoma, over 74,000 new cases, and then 20,000 plus of those led to deaths. I know down the street from me when I was a kid, there was a girl that lived down the street. I still remember her. She had a great smile, Denise Bartucci. And sadly, I think it was just a crushing blow, obviously, to her family. She came down with lymphoma and didn't last very long, so we're hoping that there's new things that are happening. And this next guest is a fighter, T.L. Hines. He's a best-selling author. He was diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma shortly before he started work on his latest novel. It's a book called The Falling Away. And we're pleased to welcome him to our show. Hey, T.L., how you doing?
I'm doing great, and thanks for having me on tonight.
Let's talk about, you know, I said you were working on the book that's out now when this happened. Take us to the moment when you learned that you had come down with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. What happened?
Yeah, well, it was kind of a double surprise for me because I had actually one of those rare guys who's pretty good about going in and seeing his doctor once a year for a checkup. So I had gone in for a checkup, and I had had just these slightly odd liver enzyme readings, and my doctor wanted me to go in for a scan saying, you know, I think it's probably just a fatty liver, but let's do a scan and just eliminate some other things, make sure that there's no problems. And so I went in for that scan, and the good news was that the scan was clear as far as my liver was concerned, but they found lymphoma throughout my abdominal region. So, you know, I didn't have any symptoms or anything when I went in for it, and it was discovered really by accident. And, you know, accident if you want to look at it one way, or divine providence, I think, if you want to look at it another way. So, you know, within a 24-hour span, I went from thinking I was getting tested for some, you know, slightly elevated liver enzymes to hearing the words, we're concerned you may have lymphoma.
Wow. And then, and so you went through, I'm sure, a battery of tests, right? And so they could prove that out, or a bunch of tests.
I did, yeah. You know, I immediately went in for, you know, repeated scans to see if it, you know, was in other areas of the body, and I had to go in and do a biopsy and go through a couple weeks of, you know, really just testing and staging to get diagnosed and to find out exactly what, you know, what type of lymphoma it was and all those kinds of things. And, of course, during that time, too, I made the mistake that anyone with a laptop and a broadband connection makes, and I, you know, went on to Google and Googled lymphoma survival rates, which is a bad place to start. So, you know, I wasn't encouraged by what I found in my original research, but as I was diagnosed and did more research, I found a lot more reason to have hope, and here I am 3 years later for sure, so...
Yeah, congratulations. I think we have some applause from the studio audience back in Minneapolis. There, yeah, they're excited.
Well, good.
Yeah, you're our daily salute. Yeah, that's a good thing, absolutely. So what would you say to people about, you know, you're sharing this with everybody, but what would you tell people to look for? I mean, I don't even know. What are the warning signs for leukemia and lymphoma?
Yeah, right. And, you know, in my case, I didn't really have any particular symptoms, but certainly it's something I've grown to know more about. And there are a couple, really, of classic symptoms for lymphoma. And one is just swollen nodes that won't go away. And typically where you would have a node swell up would be in your neck, in your underarms, your armpits, or in your groin area, which would just be a bothersome node that would, you know, be swollen and wouldn't go away. It wouldn't always necessarily be painful or anything, but it would just keep staying that way.
Yeah.
And then another classic symptom is night sweats. If you are waking up in the middle of the night, just, you know, drenched in sweats, that can certainly be a sign of lymphoma as well.
Yeah, that's the good tips for people to look for. Because I think also, too, people just ignore that. They think it's something else, so they... You know, they ate something wrong, or they're feeling something else, and that's why they're sweating, or, you know, reaching for other things that it possibly could be. And you also have a cautionary tale in the fact that, like you mentioned, a lot of men don't go to see the doctor, and here you were being diligent. So I think it's divine providence that was caught. Whereas if you were one of those guys who never, ever went to the doctors, never had something checked out, who knows? You wouldn't have any idea.
Well, I know. That's something I've certainly gone back to and considered, you know, many times in the time since then of when might it have been discovered, and it might not have been discovered until, you know, far too late to have had any kind of treatment that I was able to receive.
Yeah, no kidding. What about readers? I guess a lot of the readers have shared their stories with you about their own cancer battles. That has to be kind of humbling and at the same time fascinating to you to hear what other people have done and how they've overcome their own battles. What were some of the stories that you received from some of the readers?
You know, it's been interesting to talk to people really all over the place and people who are in the same place who just get through that recent diagnosis, and you really are just kind of numbed and in shock at first. And, you know, I think there are many times when I actually went through my diagnosis and treatment to kind of I'm one of those people who, well, I'm a writer, so I need to write things down to kind of help, you know, center my feelings on things. And so I actually blogged about it on my website, kind of the whole journey through the process. And I still every week will hear from someone who's been recently diagnosed with lymphoma and is trying to, you know, figure out what they want to do for treatment and ask for advice. I think the stories that really do stick with me are kind of like the story that you shared about the neighbor that you grew up with, the people that you have lost. And one of the things I did do after going through treatment is, you know, one, taking stock of where I was in life and all those different kinds of things, and then really trying to kick it up a notch as far as being healthier. And so I was never a runner before, but I decided after that I was going to run a half marathon. And so I did that, and kind of the thing that I did in my pocket in my first half marathon, I had just kind of written on a slip these names of specifically 8 people that I had met during my early diagnosis and treatment and had become good friends with, and people who had passed away, that, you know, that was just kind of a way for me to carry that physical reminder of them as I was trying to, you know, do a new kind of journey.
Yeah. Yeah, no kidding. Good for you. We'll tell everyone, too, that they can pick up Falling Away, and quickly, because we have a minute left, give us the brief thumbnail on what the book's about.
Well, the book is actually about a man who's a member of the Crow tribe in Montana, but he's kind of this broken man who's kind of lost touch with his heritage. And part of that is because he's an Iraq war vet. So he returns to the United States after being injured in Iraq, and he falls into this strange cult that calls itself the Hive. So it's the inner machinations of the cult and his efforts to get out of that cult that really make up the novel itself.
Excellent. Falling Away. Well, thank you so much, TL, for spending time with us here on these airwaves, and I hope that your story inspires other people to, first of all, go and get checked, and also to pay attention, and good luck in the future, and once again, thanks for stopping by.
Well, thanks so much for having me, and thank you specifically for just featuring this on, you know, Lymphoma and Leukemia Awareness Month. So we certainly appreciate it.
Oh, absolutely. You take care. And as we mentioned, it is the month for that, and TL's right. I mean, you hear more stories, sadly, on those statistics and how awful it is, whether it's somebody young or somebody older who just... They have no time. They can't fight it. It's too late for that diagnosis. On the flip side, we've just scratched the surface. Odds and ends next.
There are all sorts of things on the market designed to keep you safe when you're out and about. Whistles, mace, you name it. But for real peace of mind for parents, students, and children, you need an iSafe bag.
We heard a loud noise, and I could see a flashing in the backpack.
The sound was different than a car alarm, so it was a different sound, so we looked to see what it was.
I think it's a great idea.
Introducing the iSafe bag, a backpack that looks normal until you pull the pin. The iSafe bag emits 2 powerful sirens and a high-intensity strobe light simultaneously to attract immediate help.
Having the iSafe bag gives me a feeling of being safe because I know when I pull the alarm, people will hear it and they'll come and help me.
For mobile personal security, get the iSafe bag at iSafeBags.com. That's the letter iSafeBags.com. iSafeBags.com.
I thank God that she had that backpack and she had enough sense to use it.
It's like having a bodyguard with you all the time. The iSafe bag, the patented bag with a built-in alarm, available at iSafeBags.com.
Bringing you the best in alternative talk radio for over 10 years. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
You worry, but only because you're paying attention. What's happening in the Gulf of Mexico illustrates an audacity toward nature. A similar audacity called GMO, or genetically modified organisms, means that the quality of commercially grown food may be compromised with our health in the balance. Now that summer's here, what better time to learn about the bounty that nature provides in wild edible food? Let author Linda Runyon show you the best-kept secret in plain sight, that food is everywhere you look. This summer, for the cost of a good meal or two out, you can literally starvation-proof yourself and your loved ones against any future craziness, and put up tons of free food, too. Whatever experiment is being run on us, you can rest assured that Linda's 50 or so staple foods aren't involved. Our foods are their enemy. So go to ofthefield.com or call toll-free 1-888-51-EAT-FREE and take that first step. Make your oasis of food security and nutrition now. That's OFTHEFIELD.com or call 1-888-513-2837. Start now and make 2010 your year of independence.
That sound could save your life. In our fast-changing world, you and your loved one may have limited time to escape dangerous nuclear radiation after a power plant accident, terror attack, or dirty bomb explosion. When that happens, you'll be glad you have Nuke Alert. More than just a radiation detector, Nuke Alert is a patented radiation monitor and alarm used nationwide by federal, state, and local first responders and the Department of Defense. Nuke Alert, attached to your keychain, is always with you and on 24/7 to promptly warn you of unseen but dangerously rising radiation levels. Nuke Alert incorporates a 10-year battery backed up by a 10-year warranty. See Nuke Alert in action at KI4U.com. That's K-I, the number 4, the letter U.com. When ordering anything at KI4U.com, type in GCN in the comment box at checkout and you'll get free two of their new just released peel and stick rad sticker decimeters as a free bonus. Go to KI4U.com today and be ready for anything nuclear unleashed tomorrow.
Normal blood pressure, naturally. How would that make you feel?
I'm Don from New Mexico. January of 2000, I had a heart attack. Then my real health began going downhill, and I had high blood pressure, high blood sugar, poor vision, and I really wasn't sleeping well. I was a mess, pretty much.
Don reports dramatic improvements with Heart and Body Extract.
I started taking Heart and Body Extract, and from within a few days, I started sleeping a lot better. My blood pressure normalized, my blood sugar normalized, and my sleep really did improve.
Experience these benefits and more when your body gets what it needs with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract. Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
And folks, I did not expect this at all. By the 7th, 8th, and 9th day, I saw dramatic improvements from taking Heart and Body Extract.
Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
The hot button across America is the burning of the Quran, the little church that's going to do that in Gainesville, Florida, is getting massive exposure, not just here in the United States, but overseas. A lot of you have comments on that. We're going to go to the mailbag in our next segment. Remember, you can always flip me your thoughts anytime, day or night, americatonight.net. In the meantime, a couple of other things on the radar screen include, and boy, I mean, this is the water cooler buzz, absolutely, that what's going to happen with this pastor's plans to burn the Quran. We're going to get to that in a second. But the other big, big, big story that affects every single one of us as far as taxes are concerned, and we're talking about businesses especially, the president isn't holding back. He's definitely on the offense. He's like the quarterback now at this point when it comes to the economy. But that's what this week was set up to be, if you remember. We're talking about it at the tail end of last week. Somebody that I was talking to in D.C. said, yeah, of course, it's all about the economy. As we're getting closer now, what, 54 days until we vote in the midterm elections. So in Ohio, Obama talked about the economic policies that he was laying out, the current ones and some he was laying out, and accused the Republicans of peddling the same philosophy that led to this nightmare in the first place. This is really the big stretch of the run for the votes, if you will, and they're trying to make the case that the chief concern, the economy, is, guess what, also the top concern on the White House list of priorities. So Obama said that Congress should permanently extend Bush-era tax cuts for middle-class families while allowing for the people who make over, because see, now it's less, $200,000 a year, and households making more than $250,000 a year to expire, saying that the country can't afford tax cuts for the wealthy. That the Republicans talk about wanting to shrink the deficit, that they would have us borrow $700 billion over the next 10 years to give a tax cut of about $100,000 to people who are already millionaires, and it's the middle class who would be more likely to spend their tax savings than the wealthy, thus stimulating the economy. And he also called on Congress to expand, simplify, and make permanent research and development tax credits and allow these corporations, companies, whatever, to deduct the cost of the capital investments through the end of 2011. And he says this is going to encourage businesses to spend and hire. But the problem is, if you wanted to look at the rebuttal side of this, if you wanted to not play devil's advocate, but just look at the economy in general, is if you, I think, and I agree with this, I think you need to, at least for a year, but probably more, I think you freeze the tax rates. I think you freeze it. Because it is that bad out there. And in fact, one of the former, you know, the former budget chief, Peter Orszag, did a New York Times op-ed piece that appeared a couple of days ago. And I read it, and he suggested the similar thing, that you can't, you've got to do something because of the lack of jobs, because of the people who are underemployed, all that sort of stuff. If you're focusing on jobs, then you want to freeze the tax rates, and then you cut federal spending to where it was before the bailouts. You'd go back to 2008, before the fall of 2008, and then you wouldn't go on those spending sprees as far as the stimulus is concerned, but you'd have the combination of that and then the freeze on the taxes, which I think would encourage hiring. I agree with him. I agree with the former budget chief, because we can't continue to spend like we're buying drinks for everyone at the bar every single night. I mean, pardon the, I guess, lame analogy, but it is. We're like drunk with spending in Washington. And the problem is you couple that with then what you're talking about with the tax cuts. And I think that what you'll find is more people will be out of work. Look, unemployment's already 9.6. Let's face it. I think that number's not completely accurate. I'm going to say it's 10. It is definitely 10 in Ohio. It's 14 in Nevada, parts of Nevada. And the housing market is still rocky as all get out, still shaky. And here's the key thing. Who's not spending the money? We aren't. A lot of people are not spending money. So businesses aren't. They're cutting corners however they can to save a few bucks here and there. Consumers aren't doing it. And this is not going to kickstart what ails us. It's not going to lead to the recovery. And especially you look at small businesses and how small businesses are struggling. And, you know, even these proposals that are out there, well, first of all, even if the proposals, let's just say the proposals that have been talked about, the president's proposing spending $50 billion to improve. Remember, this is all about infrastructure now all of a sudden. So it's roads, bridges, railways, and a little bit runways, but very, very small on the runway front. So that means all the people in construction, all the people that would be working on roads, which a lot of them lost jobs, they'd be back to work. But it goes back to the same thing, at what cost because of the corporate tax, and then other people would be out of work too. Here's the deal. So 30% of the people polled in the latest NBC Wall Street Journal survey say the stimulus made things better. That's 30%, just 30%. So even if these proposals now, like the $50 billion into what I just mentioned, the infrastructure, make it into law in the next few weeks, let's say, Congress when Congress is in session. It'll be right before you've got everybody out again hitting the campaign trail. And how is this going to lower the jobless rate? It's not in time for people to flip their attitudes around and suddenly decide they're not furious anymore and they're going to vote differently and, oof, they're going to get more money. They're going to have more money in their pockets. Now, the smart thing, if you freeze the tax cuts, then it's a different story. And I think it makes sense to do that. Why can't we freeze them? But I know what the argument for that is. What about if we don't do that, where are we getting the revenues in? But the revenues aren't that high. So don't do it. I say forget it. Freeze the tax cuts. I mean, just freeze the taxes. Just do it. And that would have a better effect, I believe, on the economy. Right? You might disagree. And here's the big thing. Forget the outsourcing. Forget the outsourcing. Heavily, you want to tax something? Heavily tax the companies that are forcing people out of jobs because manufacturing and everything else in between is going overseas for a song. This isn't anything new. So end the outsourcing of jobs. Create some real jobs, not just in the construction area, not the so-called shovel jobs that have a timeline, by the way, and end. That's what you do. Really slam the people who are trying to make money on the other end because we don't produce as much in America. What happened to those days? I know I've used this example, and I don't want to beat a bunch of dead horses, but it's such a good one. When I was growing up, I can remember for a while when we lived in New York thinking that 7th Avenue was like Disneyland. Because you just saw all these people hustling around. What did I know as a kid? But you see these racks of clothes, just all kinds of clothes going up and down the streets. And people were moving all over the place. And it was the fashion district because you had seamstresses. You had people that were making things. That's the garment industry was giant. I mean, was giant. Now it's not. If you want to get something made, it goes overseas pretty much. I mean, there are some exceptions. Look at, you know, we advertise on the network, Gusset Jeans, and truly he makes the jeans. His company is in the United States. They make the jeans in the United States, and you get them, you know, through the Internet. They're made here. They're made by hands in the U.S. That's people being put to work instead of shipping them somewhere else. I think that would have a massive effect on the economy ultimately, not right away, but it would because too many jobs have been outsourced. I mean, way too many have been outsourced. All right, I said we were going to do odds and ends, and on the flip side, you know what? We're going to touch mailbag because overwhelmingly a lot of what the mailbag was about was this burning of the Quran. And the latest is General Petraeus says the burning of the Quran would damage the image, just like Abu Ghraib did in the photos, how awful that was and how people, you know, hated us. And there was this anti-U.S. hatred that was the big backlash because of the infamous photographs of what was going on at the prison there. And it's similar to that the video of the demonstration would be a propaganda gift for anti-U.S. extremists. You think so? 800-259-5791. Mailbag next.
Can you live with minor aches and pains? Maybe. But oftentimes, those won't-go-away pains become so debilitating that we are not able to do things we used to, like go for a walk, garden, or even button a shirt. Now restore normal function naturally and give yourself the freedom to move with Recovery Extra Strength. Over-the-counter drugs will stop the pain, but at the expense of your liver. Recovery Extra Strength is the number one solution for pain and inflammation. It contains Nutricol, a unique proprietary blend of green tea and grapes, and is made in Canada under strict Health Canada oversight of natural products. If you suffer from arthritis, bursitis, tendonitis, back, or other aches and pains, use Recovery Extra Strength. Call 866-543-3388 or go to RemarkableRecovery.com. Get free shipping on orders of $50 or more when you use checkout code GCN Radio. Call 1-866-543-3388 or go to RemarkableRecovery.com for Recovery Extra Strength for pain-free mobility.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 5 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include three Sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping. An $87 value, yours free. Call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today. If you're in a service business, that's money ringing in your ears. If your phone's not ringing, chances are it's a problem with your marketing. Landscapers, painters, roofers, carpet cleaners, pet sitters, handymen. Anyone with a residential service business can build a huge and loyal customer base fast with the Magic Yellow Flyer. No more expensive newspaper, yellow pages, or internet pay-per-click ads. The Magic Yellow Flyer will have new customers calling you within 1 week. The Magic Yellow Flyer marketing system is the most effective and inexpensive way to build a referral-only service business in a short period of time. And the Magic Yellow Flyer comes with an outrageous 1 year guarantee. You will get new customers or your money back. For details, go to MagicYellowFlyer.com. No matter what business you're in, the Magic Yellow Flyer marketing system will work for you. Visit MagicYellowFlyer.com. Put the Magic Yellow Flyer to work for you today. Visit MagicYellowFlyer.com.
All right, let me give you the setup here on America Tonight. In case you didn't hear the story, you'd have to be living under a rock. And this is a smart audience, so I think most of you know the story. But hey, maybe you were listening to my pal George down the dial, and he was talking about the asteroids that may come close to Earth or something else. So here's the deal. You've got this pastor who is just saying, no way, I don't care what anyone says. I am going to burn copies of the Quran, no matter who criticizes it. I don't care if it's the Pope or who it is. And Pastor Jones is giving these news conferences now because everybody and their brother's trying to get a hold of him. All you have to do is try to call that church and you'll just get a continuous busy signal. So here's what the deal is. He says, in a nutshell, it is possibly the best time for us in a very new way to stand up and confront terrorism. And I always say that this show is about water cooler buzz and throwing in your 2 cents. Everybody and their brother across America is throwing in their 2 cents on what's happening in Gainesville with the pastor Terry Jones. And while he's getting encouragement, he says there are a lot of people that are sending him nasty, ugly emails too. But there's also people sending copies of the Quran to be burned. He's already gotten about 50 copies or so just in the last couple of days. And that's pretty big, I would say. And also some death threats, about 100 death threats. So as a result, this is America after all, We are, what is it, Tom in Texas says? We are heavily agitated, armed and agitated. So he's armed with a .40 caliber pistol since he announced his plan to burn the book, the Quran. And he's staging this international Burn a Quran Day. Petraeus, the general, is all over this, that saying that this is the worst thing that could possibly happen. He spoke with the Afghanistan president, the useless Hamid Karzai, about it, and they agree that it would undermine the effort in Afghanistan. Undermine the effort in Afghanistan. Here's the problem with that. Why is so much attention being paid to Gainesville, Florida, and a church of 50 people, of 50 followers, if even that? I don't get it. All right, without further ado, let's head to the mailbag.
DeVale is here!
Ooh!
So here's what Dennis McMahon says, our friend in Vermont. Burning the Quran is not only criminal and outrageous, it shows immense stupidity and ignorance of history, and the fact that Muslims are not only in our army, but have fought side by side with us in Iraq, Afghanistan, etc. And the U.S. has always had relatively decent relationships with key Muslim states like Pakistan, even siding with them against India during the Cold War. That's certainly true. Of course, the lessons of history have been lost on a lot of people, but the crew that wants to burn any book sacred to anyone needs a major education about life. Now we go back to that. We go back to burning what is holy to somebody. And, you know, this is such a mixed bag because I said it on a previous show, and I know we're comparing different things. But it's like when I see people protesting and burning the flag, I want to clock them. I do. If I'm going to be truthful about this, I'm not a violent person, and I probably wouldn't do it, but I'm sure I wouldn't do it, but I want to do it when I see it, because I don't think it really, number one, I don't get it. It's not, it gets a little bit of coverage, but does it really push home the point that the person is trying to make? And the answer is no, it never does that for me, and I don't think it does it for a lot of people. It just brings up some nasty feelings that whatever you're trying to get across, like, oh, I'm furious with America because I'm anti-war, so I'm burning this flag, or I'm hanging the flag upside down because I'm sickened by something that happened in America. It doesn't resonate. So I understand about what people are saying about the Quran, but hey, listen, if we're letting other sacred things get burned, and the Bible absolutely has been burned. In some of the Muslim countries where they're protesting the most, they do. They burn Bibles. Listen, there's photographic evidence at many protests, including some of the protests that are going on now. We have this amazing thing called search engines. All you have to do is pick any of them and put that in there, Bible burning, and boy, you'll get more than your share of current things that are happening. Here's one from Lisa E. Hello, America. Tonight, this whole burning of the Quran thing, at first, I didn't really pay attention to it, but I have to tell you, I think the guy in Gainesville is a kook. He's trying to get attention. He's all over the Muslims' case. But what about the Muslim people who are our friends? What about the Muslim people who fight in our wars and fight for America? Isn't that like giving them the finger? All right, interesting. Kind of the same point that Dennis was bringing up in one sense in what he said, that there are people that wear the uniform, so what are we saying to them? What are you saying to them if you burn the book that they consider to be holy that they read? Here's one from Jeffrey D. I love when people just use the, just say Jeff or whatever, but they just use the letter of their last name. We're listening to you in Austin. Enjoy the show. The burning of the Quran, I say, amen, brother, go for it. I don't think I would do it, Kate, but I agree that he should have the right to protest if he wants to. And obviously, in a strange way, it is working. You have people on the tube saying nothing will come of this, but already people are paying attention to it and talking about it all over the place, including in the countries where the people want to cut off our heads and do harm to us. So he is drawing attention to Islamic extremists by saying, I don't care about the danger. I'm willing to burn your Quran. So I say bravo to the pastor. And then we've got another one here, and this is from Eileen Davis. She listens to us in Iowa. Hello, I have to throw in my two cents about the Quran. I think he should be able to burn it. I think you mentioned Gainesville, and it's a small church. It doesn't matter the size of the church, and it doesn't matter what kind of names people call the pastor. Hey, listen, he's getting attention all over the place. He is raising the awareness that why should we be afraid of terrorists and cowtail to them? Why can't he protest and burn the Qurans? And you can bet it's going to make big news on Saturday. That is true, because I don't think the pastor's backing down, so it will be a lead story. You know, what you'll see is it's 9 years since September 11th, 2001, so probably the obligatory photographs of people now remembering actually in New York. What they do in New York, I think, is kind of interesting. They read off the names of the people who were lost, and it takes a while, but they do it. So probably you'll see a little bit of that, and then you'll definitely see this story. Here's what Angelina Jolie, the actress, had to say about burning the Quran.
I have hardly the words to that somebody would do that to somebody's religious book.
All right, so some of you agree. Some of you are saying the same thing. How can you do that? How can you burn it? How would you feel about the Bible or other holy books being burned? One thing's for sure, the water cooler buzz on this one is far, far, far from over. When so many people are being drawn into this argument, the Secretary of State, the general on the ground in Afghanistan, Joe around the corner, and the famous and the not so famous, it is definitely drawing attention to the Quran and attention to September 11th. Because remember, the reason the pastor says is to remember the people that were killed on September 11th. Got any thoughts on this one or some other things? Send them to me, americatonight.net.